Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe De Leon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, what a day to be alive that Alabama fans are mad at you and they love me today. Have you seen the comments on their
website? Oh, they're mad at me?
Oh, they're pissed at you. Oh, they're mad at you. Come on, man. You know what you said yesterday. They're pissed at you. They're extremely pissed.
I said they were going 9-3.
Yeah, but I think you're a little too realistic. This is the whole journey.
Hold on, wait a second. Okay. People are mad at me because I was too realistic.
This is the whole absurdity of when I was realistic about Alabama during the regular season, and everyone and their mother from the state of Alabama called me a dumbass. Now you're experiencing it. Now you were more bullish, and now it's the other way around. The pants are on another leg here.
The pants are on another leg. I think I wear a couple sizes bigger than you. But you know what's funny about that, and something I didn't bring up, but I brought up this morning on our SEC show, is that's fine and dandy, and they can be mad at me. They have a very big issue in the secondary. They have more players in the secondary that have left than any other position group. You have Kool-Aid McKinstry, Tyrion Honor that are gone. Yeah. Joe, they had four players in the portal that hit, guys that would have started. I know they got the USC transfer. I understand that.
They also got added Keon Sab, the Michigan transfer.
Cute. All I'm saying is I do think that there's a parallel with Kalen DeBoer that I think ultimately when we get closer to the season – I might bring up this is going to if their secondary is the way that I think that they will, this will be a trend for Kalen DeBoer. Now, I will say this. He has done some things in recruiting that I did not expect he would do, getting multiple four stars. So he's already started doing some things that I thought he wouldn't do in recruiting.
I will concede, and I said this yesterday, it's very early to really know how things are going to go because there's a lot of variables that need to come into play with this. But I still stand by if there's a coach that has a really good first year and maybe things kind of cool off after that first year, it's probably going to be him.
Can I ask a question?
No. What's the question?
They were 11-2 last year. They did make the playoffs.
Yeah.
How are we expecting them to be better? And what is cooling off? You know, like
cooling off would be just having one loss or two losses more than his first season. I'm not expecting them to be better, but I said yesterday 10-2 is how I realistically see them. And they were 10-2 in the regular season. They're probably not going to the SEC championship game. And they're probably going to be one of the last SEC teams that gets into the college football playoff.
You know what's funny about that? I named the three games that they would lose. Georgia, they're not going to win. LSU, they're not going to win, and I don't think they win Tennessee. So
I don't know if LSU's a foregone conclusion. Tennessee is definitely not a foregone.
Kalen DeBoer's not beating LSU. Let me tell you something. That rivalry, first year coaches, go ahead and come to Death Valley. LSU's 113-7. So did you know that? Like, first year head coaches are like 113-7 going to Death Valley. Good luck, sir.
If they lose to LSU, they just need to win the rest of their games. I think they beat Tennessee. I think that they can beat Tennessee.
And Rocky Top?
They got a first year quarterback. We've talked very highly of Nico, but we don't know for sure what Nico's going to be. Nico could be more Cade Klubnik than Bryce Young.
Stop.
What do you mean?
Did you not watch the Tennessee ball game? Stop.
They played Iowa, okay? They played Iowa.
Are you acting like Iowa doesn't have a good defense?
They have a good defense, but at the same time, we need to be. He played good against a quality defense that's well coached, but I don't think that we can just go as far as to say this kid's going to be unbelievable after one game, a bowl game.
Iowa produced the first white corner in two centuries, and you want to talk ill
about he didn't play in the bowl game too, though. That needs to be brought up. They were without their best defensive player in the bowl game.
Sure. All right, we got lots of things that we need to talk about here today, Joe. The mafia getting involved in Vanderbilt football.
It's the stupidest headline, and we have to talk about it. It's so stupid.
All right, we will talk about that because there was an allegation that was brought up by Mo Hasson. Okay,
is that how you say it?
I don't even know the kid.
Yeah,
I mean. Hasin. I don't know him. I mean, do you know how to pronounce it?
I mean, this is how little I know about him and how I find it very unrealistic that he was approached with X amount of dollars to fix a game as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, that didn't happen, buddy. I'm just telling you that didn't happen, but we will touch on it here tonight. We'll continue on our coach's hot tracker. Shane Beamer is going to be on the forefront. Now, I got to say this. I wish we would have done Shane Beamer before tonight because now everybody's going to say, Blake's an LSU fan. He's just overreacting to what happened with LSU in South Carolina yesterday.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Well, this is going to make it even more fun because you know what, Blake? There is nothing that I love more than making South Carolina fans upset.
Hate South Carolina.
They have never liked me for whatever reason. And I know that I'm not that long into my hosting media career, but I don't know, man. They've gone after me on Twitter. They've gone after me in the comments of the show. I rub them the wrong way. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it, Blake.
Joe rubbing the Cox fans.
Yeah, I know how to rub a Cox.
The
wrong way. Hey, you said it. You said it before I did.
I mean, no, you the one. I was just echoing what you had said. So, nevertheless, that's not all that we have to talk about here, too, Joe. First, your expectations for now, Power 5, Houston, and Willie Fritz. I'm excited about that segment.
Yeah, no, it's probably not going to be one of our more watched first-year expectations segments. Hey, I don't even know.
The Cougars, when he was hired, they showed up in the YouTube channel.
How many Houston football fans do you know? Do you know a lot of Houston football fans?
I don't know one.
I think they're all fans of other programs in the state of Texas. But Willie Fritz is a great coach. I'm happy for him, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do here because if there's somebody who randomly builds a powerhouse – in a weak conference, it could be Willie Fritz. He literally just did that with a team that historically has been pretty terrible in Tulane.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Willie Fritz a lot. Okay, I think that he, like you mentioned, built a place that had been yearning for a winner, New Orleans, with Tulane. He got people buzzing about it. The thing with Willie Fritz, though, is I think he did things specific at Tulane, meaning like he recruited the state very well.
Yeah.
Like extremely well, meaning the state of Louisiana, which I do think helped him get to where he was. I don't know, Joe, if he can go inside the state of Texas necessarily and do what he did. But I do think that he will come back inside the state of Louisiana and do some things. I mean, look, he had Ole Miss on the ropes last year, man, with a backup quarterback.
My geography of Texas is probably not very good, but and please cut me off if I sound like a dumbass, but Texas is such a big state that I feel like there's not a lot of college representation in the state, in the Houston area, that at the very least he can do really well recruiting in that specific location.
Believe it or not, LSU has a massive alumni base in Houston. Like
he's used to competing with LSU for three stars or any of the back end guys.
He's never competed with LSU in a recruiting battle, not once.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah, no, not there. There hasn't been one recruit. I will say though, He did go in the portal and get a really interesting pickup, like Makai Muse from Georgia, the return specialist.
Yeah.
He did do some interesting things. Like he got Jaden York, the tight end that I thought was pretty interesting. Also got Malik Carr, the tight end. So he went out and got two big-time tight ends, but he's done pretty well in the portal. He went and got Zion Chris, the quarterback from Louisiana that I'm sure that we'll talk about, and Isaiah Hamilton, who decided to stay. So we got a lot to talk about with Willie Fritz. Also brought in Kendra Webb, the cornerback, which I don't think a lot of people are talking about. So we will touch on that. Joe, let me just say this, too, before we get rolling. I have changed who I am in this world, meaning when I first started off in this business, I tried to break a lot of news, or not tried, but did break a lot of news. I got to say this when it comes to college football. I think that last night Josh Pate said something and coaches around the country have been notified, okay, on some new changes that are possibly coming to the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I would expect some very big stories to come this week. Okay, in reference to the 14-team playoff automatic qualifiers, and if they cannot come to an agreement, Joe, we might have one of the biggest stories in college football history. I do not know what the SEC and Big Ten are planning to do, but I do think it's getting very interesting here.
Well, this is what I brought up on yesterday's show. There is seemingly a little bit of headway for something like that to happen, like you're talking about right now.
Yep.
There is a lot of big media folk that no one's really reacting to or talking about that have echoed that same deal where whatever the SEC and the Big Ten are looking for might not be given to them, which is going to lead to possibly a massive stalemate or an aggressive action by both of the conferences.
It very much could. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. I am very interested in that. Mm. Let's talk about our good friends over at BetOnline. Everybody do us a favor, though, by hitting the like and share. If you're on Facebook, share to all those groups. Share to all of those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and notification bell wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, let's get to our first break. We got lots to discuss. Is Vanderbilt football tanking to win games for the Mob? We talk about that next.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back! Okay. Joe, one of the most ridiculous stories revolving college football I've ever heard in my life. Now, I am not saying it's not true because, Joe, as two Italians do a college football podcast here, I do believe that there are situations where this has happened, okay?
Sure.
I'm not saying that it's never happened or will never happen, but in case you missed it, there was a former Vanderbilt quarterback. Okay, I guess, Joe, what was it? Sometime last week, I forget.
It was the very end of last week. It was Thursday, Friday, I believe.
But Mo Hasson, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing his name here, but that he was approached at Jason Aldean's bar and by the Italian Mob, and they were going to give him $300,000 to throw some games. If the kid winds up dead in the next 2 weeks, maybe he was telling the truth. This sounds like throwing Vandy games. Vandy.
He was the backup quarterback. He was the he had 17 passing attempts when he was at Vanderbilt. 17 passing attempts. This is the biggest load of bullshit that I've ever seen for a fake story. Look, they've been doing that podcast, the Momentum podcast or whatever it is, where they're You know, it's kind of like Busting with the Boys, the way that it looks like, the way where they shoot it in that van style setup, whatever the hell
it
is.
I've never seen it.
This is probably one of the most desperate ploys for viewership attention that I've ever seen. He needs to understand that even if this was real, the reason why nobody would believe it because of the context of who he was as a player, the school that he was playing at that never had any impact in the SEC. And he also tried to chime in and say, well, some of you guys haven't heard of prop bets before. You have to play to participate and get a prop bet. You have to be on the field in order to get a prop bet. He didn't elaborate enough to say that if he was approached to then approach his teammates to do things, none of that stuff was brought up. All he said is that he was approached by the mob and he was offered $300,000 and that apparently other guys were offered as well. He is either making this up or some dude, and I think this is probably likely, probably recognized him in a bar and was trying to mess with him and thought it was funny. those are the only two options here. There's no shot in hell that anyone thought to themselves, let's go talk to the backup quarterback at Vanderbilt. He's going to make us some money.
I'm going to be careful, and I got to be careful on how I say this.
Okay.
Joe, I told you about a story that of my own personal volition that I've had in Nashville, okay, telling somebody that I was a country music producer and that somebody, one of my buddies told her that my dad owned Sony, okay? Uh-huh. That's the vibe around Nashville. All right, everybody is fake it till you – not everybody. There are people there that it's fake it till you make it. I know this person. I know that person. This is what I know. This is what I don't know. A drunk guy in the bar goes up to a dude and says, I'm going to give you $300,000 to play some bets. I don't think it's unrealistic that somebody like you mentioned messes with him. I've been to Nashville 6 times in my life. Each one of my buddies have made up a story to pick up a very attractive young lady and to potentially make them their wives. Okay. That's all that happened there. I do think that there could be some reality to it. However, how stupid do you have to be? Because we're in a place in college athletics and just sports in general, okay, where you make a comment like that for one reason, and you mention it probably for clicks. Now, as someone who has been in court thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times, okay, when it comes to my previous life, this is, like you mentioned, the biggest load of bullshit that I've ever heard. The mob does not work that way. People that are sophisticated don't work that way. And Joe, are we just going to sit here and believe that a backup quarterback was approached? Now, like you mentioned, could there have been a situation where that he went, you know, you give some of your teammates to do something? I don't know, but it's just one of the wilder stories that you're ever going to hear. And in no way humanly possible. Now, if this would have been at Georgia, if this would have been at Florida, LSU, like if he would have played anywhere else in the SEC, I'd have been like, you know what? There might be some truth to it. But Vanderbilt, him being a Vanderbilt quarterback,
backup
ends it for me. Completely ends it. Because nobody in their right mama cares about it. Now, I will tell you, I have a lot of uncles. They don't care about college football as much as I do. They care more about the NFL, NBA, NHL. They've gotten bigger now into college athletics, okay? Their fandom, I'll call it that. But they're pro dudes. They always have been.
Read between the lines there. Sure. I stand by, though, that what I'm saying here. He's a young guy. He's younger than me. Hosting a podcast, a lot of times these younger guys in their early 20s lack the discretion of knowing what's appropriate and inappropriate to do in terms of inflating. Let's use the word inflating, embellishing a little bit the details of a story to make it a little bit more compelling and interesting. I have no intention of going and watching the full episode, and I don't think anyone should waste their time watching the full episode. I saw the clip. I don't know the entire context if he said something before or after the statement that was clipped and that was ran with. But what I do know is that we're sitting here talking about him, and his show got a lot of brand buzz. Recognition, a lot of buzz because of this. There's a lot of naive people out there that are going to think that something like this is real. There's a lot of people who don't care, who are just going to see it and not really care to question it or not. Not a lot of people are going to sit here and actually have the conversation of what's the likelihood of something like this to happen. There's no way of disproving it. The kids went to Vanderbilt and he went to USC. He's smart enough to know that there's no way to disprove a story like this. Unless somebody is connected with the mob in Nashville, which good luck figuring.
Very likely.
No, but I'm saying though is that like no one's going to be able to go to a direct source and say and ask and find out, did you try to do this or not? No right. one like will what ever
I told
do
you
that.
In pre-production, the mob's not going to come out with a press release. Right.
Exactly. Like, my point.
I mean, so here's what I will say. Okay. I agree with everything that you just said in reference to that. However, the bigger point that I take from that is in today's society is what's very scary about all of this is let's just say hypothetically, the kid is true. Now, again, I've never seen a show. Don't know the podcast. If you asked me to go find the clip, I couldn't even do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I do think like the Kayshon Booty thing, the thing that happened at Iowa and Iowa State, betting has become a bigger issue in college athletics than we're leaning on. A more massive issue than I think more that we're talking about. And the only time that we talk about it, Joe, is when we find a scandal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's only in these instances that something negative like this happens. Do I think in the near future, I don't even think it has to be a mob individual. I think in the near future, there will be an instance of just a wealthy business owner. This literally happened with Arizona State basketball not that long ago. Business manager, a finance guy approaching a basketball player and asking him to shave a couple of points. I think that's certainly plausible to happen. But, I mean, come on, man. The details just don't add up. None of it adds up. And this kid's a fucking right. clown is the most bullshit. The fact that he thought that something like this would better actually catch on and somebody would take this seriously. It's a fucking joke.
I will say this. If I ever got to interview the kid, I'd ask him three questions.
Okay.
How do you know it was the mob? And if he says, okay, well, he told me he was a part of the mafia.
He showed him his mob ID card.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was right next to his Blockbuster card.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
Right next to his Costco card. Number two, why was it $300,000 and were you asked to get other players involved? And depending on what he would say, I would question that because I think he's full of shit. I will say this. People who say that the mob, though, I saw a lot of comments underneath it. The mob doesn't exist anymore.
That's not true.
That 1,000%. And you live in New Jersey or from New Jersey, I should say.
Well, and I mean, also went to school in Rhode Island, which actually has an even
right
deeper mob presence than where I was from in New Jersey.
Exactly. So my point is, like, just go type in Google. Like, I think that there was an indictment where 28 people got arrested 2 weeks ago for mob activities, for union activities. So again, just calm down with it. All right, let's move on to some actual football on the field here. Joe, we continue. I feel like we do this every episode, but it makes for interesting because we got a lot of coaches that are on the hot seat here. Now we got to go up to Columbia, South Carolina, and talk about Shane Beamer. Let me just say this. It is very well known on the show that I'm an LSU guy, okay? Nothing I am about to say because I've honestly said it in the past. I've said it on other episodes before this incident between LSU and South Carolina happened about Shane Beamer and this hot take. So if you're in the comment section saying, oh, my private parts hurt, Blake's an LSU guy, none of this is going to be true. But Joe, I'll kick it over to you first. Shane Beamer, hot seat tracker. Just how hot is his seat?
Shane Beamer should be fired at the end of the season. I do not. I'm sorry. I'm setting you up like this. I have not been an advocate for Shane Beamer. I have never been a supporter. I have seen through all of his bullshit. I have constantly and consistently said that he is one of the corniest coaches in the SEC and in college football. I hate the way that he carries himself. But I look at it from a year-to-year basis, the way that this roster has been pulled apart in the transfer portal every single offseason. I do not have faith that 2024 is going to be some sort of a resurrection year. And it bothers me that nobody talks about Shane Beamer more as being a guy who is coaching for his job. I feel like he is considered to be someone who's going to turn this around or is going to get plenty of extra time to figure things out for the next couple of years. I don't know if that's because of his dad. I don't know if it's because of the happy-go-lucky dipshit attitude that he portrays when he talks. But I do not think that Shane Beamer is as good of a coach as anybody has portrayed. I understand that it's hard to win at South Carolina, but for what he has produced on the field is no indication of progressively improving football. The only thing that he has to ride on over the past couple of years is that he pulled Nicholas Harbor and was able to get him to come play. I think, though, my biggest thing here is that they lost Antoine Wells. They lost a lot of guys in the previous cycle in the transfer portal that left, that depleted the depth of this roster. And now they're losing a guy who played way better than I expected, that was the most important player on the roster, and arguably one of the best players in the SEC this past year that got no love, in Spencer Rattler. I don't know how I'm supposed to trust this offense to move when Spencer Rattler did most of the work this past year. Your next quarterback in Lenora Sellers, Blake, wears Rex specs.
Missed the glasses, man.
Rex specs. I am not putting my faith in a guy, and I say this as an individual with glasses, I am not putting my faith in a goddamn guy who wears Rex specs. I chose to go out on the field blind when I was playing in college before I put stupid-ass Rex specs on. So, no. I don't trust Shane Beamer. I don't think that he should last until the end of the year.
All right. Joe, can I read your record of four? Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to read you a six-year record, and I want you to stay with me because it ties to Shane Beamer. You ready?
Okay.
A previous coach from 1987 to 1992. This was his record. Are you ready?
Okay.
2-9, 3-8. 6-4-1, 6-5, 5-6, 2-8. Who do you think that head coach was?
Frank Beamer?
Frank Beamer.
Ooh.
I will tell you, Joe, that there are some places, okay, that it does take time when it comes to building something. I think in our society, we are so microwave. And quite honestly, Nick said, and we've talked about this before on the Hot Seat Tracker, Nick Saban ended a lot of coaches' head coaching careers because of the simple nature. People think it you should be there 3 years. You should start sustaining things. Your culture should be in. Well, Shane Beamer's dad literally had 7 seasons where he barely had winning records, or if he had one at all. I understand that the times have changed. I understand that Virginia Tech is not as a big enough program maybe as South Carolina was then, but the problem that I would say is, like, hey, man, he comes from a lineage of a coach that for those first 7 years didn't do anything worth a damn. But the counterpart to that would be Steve Spurrier, right? That somebody can actually go there and win big and win early and win consistently. I just don't think as well as Clemson recruits and how the Southeastern Conference, people in the Southeastern Conference recruits, I don't think Shane Beamer, to your point, has recruited well enough, especially on both lines of scrimmage, for them to push to where they ultimately want to go. Joe, I'm going to give this a 6.5, okay?
Oh, wow.
When it comes to the rating on our scale, because I do think that Sellers isn't as bad as you make him out to be. I do think that they have a lot of young talent, and I do think that Shane Beamer, who 2 years ago, Joe, remember, beats Tennessee and beats Clemson, okay, and propels them to a really good season. Can he do it again? We'll have to wait and see. To your point about Sellers, the quarterback,
I don't disagree with you. I think about the glasses thing, but
I'm mostly joking about that.
I know you are.
Don't understand the bit though.
I do believe, even though I think it could be a 6.5, I'm just holding out a little bit of hope for him. I don't know if Shane Beamer doesn't need to be fired at the end of the year, because you're moving into a world where, and I think South Carolina fans are getting frustrated. Like, remember last year he kicked a wall and broke his foot?
Yeah.
Like, when you're winning, that's funny. When you're losing, people put that under a microscope. So Shane Beamer's clock is ticking, Joe, but I just don't know if he shouldn't be awarded maybe a little bit more time.
But are we giving him more time because he's coaching at South Carolina? Are we giving him more time because he's coaching at a school that historically has not been very good and typically does not? It's probably,
I think, slightly where you are is a big thing to do with it.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I don't think that there's an expectation for South Carolina to become a national champion. That's realistically not going to happen. I mean, just historically, Kentucky doesn't really fall into this conversation because Kentucky's been way better for the past decade than they've been historically before that. But
well, Mark Stoops might be their best overall coach ever at Kentucky. So
that's my point, though, is that if Mark Stoops can do that for a football program that's never been good, and Shane Beamer is at a team where the previous coaches, like I look at Lou Holtz, had some success when he was there, when he was a million years old before he retired. Steve Spurrier, same thing, a million years old, still had a little bit of success and consistently got them to bowl games. I think it's easy to notice all of the warning signs when a coach is losing control and when a coach is not turning the ship in the right direction. And the signs for me is a regression in performance on the field and a regression in performance in recruiting / now the transfer portal is something that has to get talked about. The way that they added a shitload of kids this past year. They added a lot of kids. I get that they were aggressive. They're trying to add depth. But the way that they lost most of their top players last year and now they're losing Juice Wells, like I don't – Sellers might be a good player. And Robbie Ashford might be a good secondary rushing option for them. And Raheem Sanders, I have no idea if he'll be healthy enough to be impactful. I don't know what is going to be their – defining factor. I don't know what's going to be the piece here that's going to help get them over the hump, because their schedule is actually pretty tough. Some of the games that they have to play this upcoming year, they have to play Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Clemson.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, look, Joe, at Clemson, as you mentioned, at Oklahoma, at Alabama, you got Ole Miss, LSU, Kentucky. And Joe, I do think that Kentucky might be one of the best sleepers in this entire SEC run here, because, look, they're bringing back 17-plus seniors and juniors on defense. Even that game isn't a what you would call, and some people have called before, a rent-a-win. Joe, I do look at the portal, and that's where I was going next, okay? I agree with you. I mean, but they did bring in some interesting pieces. Okay, Kamar Bell, the interior offensive lineman, I think gets overlooked because he was at FAU. Demetrius Knight from Charlotte, the linebacker, I think gets overlooked because he was at Charlotte. A lot of people were high on him. But I do agree. Like, is Robbie Ashford going to be a guy? Like, what do you do with him? I know that you got Rocket Sanders, but, I mean, we saw what happens when that doesn't work well with a very bad offensive line. But look, he did bring in some pieces on defense. DeAndre Jules from Pitt. He did bring in Buddy Mack III. I do think that they have some pieces. But the problem, like you mentioned, is just because you bring in some decent pieces, it might overall be a pretty decent team. Your schedule is so brutal. Okay? Like, Joe, that's five losses right there. You would have to win everything else, which they probably could and would. Could he be 7-5? And let me ask you this question. If he's 7-5, should he be retained? Because
if he goes 7-5 with that schedule, totally. But there's no way in hell that he goes 7-5 with the teams that they have to play.
Well, there's we just named off the five losses. All the other ones they can win.
I don't think there's a shot that they beat Texas A&M. I don't think they beat Oklahoma.
I think they can beat Texas A&M.
All right, that's one game. I named eight.
Oh,
I named one, two, three. Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Missouri, Clemson. That's eight games that I mentioned. So if we want to give them Texas A&M.
I think they can beat Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's roster is a lot better defensively and more physical up front.
Jackson Arnold, I'm not buying it just yet.
Yeah, we're supposed to trust the Sellers kid more than Jackson Arnold. I would trust Jackson Arnold before I would trust Sellers. He can see the future
coming. Maybe you should.
What, because of his stupid goggles that was supposed to? God, that sucks, man.
I'll give him this now. The word coming out of South Carolina is Sellers is going off.
Yeah, against what secondary is he facing in camp?
Fair. I will just remind you that Steve Spurrier averaged 7 wins for the first 6 years that he was at South Carolina. That's the same track that – because, look, I can look at Spurrier. 6-6, 7-6, 8-4, 7-6, 6-6, 7-6. And then in 2010 is when he got 9 wins, then he got 11 wins and 11 wins and 11 wins. It took him 6 seasons to get there, Joe.
Yeah, but he was able to buy himself time, though, by actually going over 500 consistently.
Yeah, but I think that there's a possibility they could. There's also a possibility he falls flat on his face and they go 4-8.
Yeah, I think that's the more realistic situation here. That Steve Spurrier had no down years until 2015. Wasn't until 20. I forgot how good they were for that 3-year stretch from 2011 to 2015.
Got to 2 SEC championship games. Steven Garcia beating Alabama in Columbia. I understand where you're coming from. I trust me, I get it. But I think that here's a take, Joe. I talked about this morning. I'll bring it up with you. There are 2 big pet peeves that I have about sports. I'm going to give them both to you. Ready? Mm-hmm. Which ties in to Shane Beamer. Number one, if a team plays for or is in contention for like an SEC or Big Ten or like a conference title or a national title running up, when people say, oh, that team sucks, they're not any good. Well, no. A 9-3 in college football, you don't suck, okay? Like, you're a pretty decent team. I will just say the second one is, all right, winning isn't equal when it comes to programs. Winning is not equal. What do I mean by that?
Yeah.
Shane Beamer going 7-5 again at South Carolina. Like, for example, Joe, if Billy Napier goes 7-5, you're going to say they're the best 7-5 team that ever worked the planet Earth.
No. I understand that 7-5 is not created equal. For 7-5 for Shane Beamer, I absolutely would say that he bought himself more time. 7-5 for Billy Napier.
Well, you can say the same exact thing for Billy Napier.
No, I can't, because I mean the 7-5 would be the same thing for Jimbo this past year where they went 8-4, but he still got fired.
Neither one of those guys had those top recruiting classes. What got Jimbo fired was he brought it. A lot of boosters paid for him to get to the playoffs, and he didn't do it because they went and gotten the recruits and they couldn't get there.
Well, Florida this past year had a really good recruiting class.
Joe, they were in the top 3 and then fail. Billy couldn't close. My point is,
okay.
Winning, see, you're doing it right now. It's a pet peeve of mine. Winning is not equal at programs. Billy Napier should have more ties because you are more heat on him because you should not be losing like that at Florida.
Yeah, but I said that he was going to – I said he was going to get fired. If they both go 7-5, the result is very different. 7-5 in year 3 for Billy Napier is not an accomplishment, as we've talked about.
If they go 7-5, that means they have to beat an Alabama, Kentucky, or LSU, or Oklahoma.
Well, that's why we think he's getting fired. That's why we think no matter what, he's going to get fired.
Well, all I'm going to say is this. I do think here's my predictive future. You ready? I do think he gets fired.
At the end of the year?
Yeah, I think because let me give an example. Sam Pittman and Dave Aranda don't get fired because they're really good guys. Shane Beamer gets fired because he's done some kooky ass shit. Like, for example, the walk up out the bed with my swag on. like, and he puts the sunglasses on, like the stupid childish videos. I think that was stupid. I also think what was stupid was him kicking a wall and breaking his foot and him having to come to a press conference in a booth.
Yeah, he's a goof. He's a goof. He's a complete goof.
Well, lie about why you broke your foot. Just be like, look, man, I felt something, like, you know, I was running. I felt something break. Lie. You lie all the time where you're at the podium. Why would you say something so stupid?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I can't stand him. Maybe I'm being negative. Maybe South Carolina fan. I don't really understand. I feel like a lot of South Carolina fans like him. I feel like a lot of South Carolina fans would defend him to death.
Oh, well, we're about to find out in the comment section.
Oh, we're going to get cooked. We're going to get freaking
cooked. I don't think we're going to get cooked. I do think.
I hope we get cooked because it means people are watching.
I will just say, I don't think we're going to get cooked, but I do think that there is a massive part of that fan base that wants him out. And I will tell you now, there are people, I've talked to some people, he's alienated some of the people in the media. Like,
yeah, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work because when the fire starts, Joe, there's a very strong possibility, very strong possibility. Go back to their schedule. Read the first five games of their schedule again for me.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I don't have
because I think they got LSU in there. I think Kentucky is also in there.
1 second.
I mean, you're slower than molasses.
I didn't have it pulled. It's a lot of words I got to type. All right, so they got Old Dominion.
All right, so win.
Kentucky at loss. Kentucky.
Loss.
Versus LSU.
Loss.
Versus Akron.
Win, so they're 2-2.
Yeah. Versus Ole Miss, loss. Loss. At Alabama, loss.
All right, 2-4.
At Oklahoma, that's a loss.
All right, I'll give you that, 2-5.
Versus Texas A&M, let's be generous. Let's say they beat Texas A&M.
All right, they're 3-5.
Versus Vanderbilt?
They're 4-5.
Versus Missouri. In the
middle of October, they're going on a run, baby.
Versus Missouri, they're not beating Missouri.
God damn, I didn't even see – yeah, they're 4-6, okay.
And then at Wofford and at Clemson. They're not beating Clemson. At Clemson at the end of the season.
He's got, the pinnacle game for him, ironically, in all of this, is Oklahoma.
Yeah, if he can beat Oklahoma.
Well, that's a place that he's been, right? Like, he's got ties in Oklahoma and to that school. If he can beat Oklahoma, he's going 7-6. Or 7-5, 6-6.
Yeah, because that's a rallying point for them. They probably don't beat Missouri, but you can make the argument if you're good enough to beat Oklahoma, you're probably going to have enough juice to beat Texas A&M and Clemson and maybe Missouri.
I got a hot take. You ready?
Yeah.
I think Missouri is going to be a top two offense in the SEC.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's plausible.
I got to be real with you. I think we're not talking enough about Mizzou as an example. I think they get run off the field. I don't think they can stop a nosebleed.
Wait.
I mean, South Carolina.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they can't stop a nosebleed. They got Marcus Carroll with Georgia State. I mean, Brady Cook, who you hate, which, by the way, Joe's tied for third in the Heisman Trophy odds.
Okay, all right. That doesn't mean shit. But Luther Burden, though, is the truth.
He was in the same exact place as Jaden Daniels was a year ago.
If Brady Cook wins the Heisman, I will eat a hat.
Okay, Joe.
If Brady Cook wins the Heisman,
the draft is in a little bit more than a month, and you have to eat a hat because you said that Jaden Daniels wouldn't get
Brady Cook isn't even getting near the goddamn podium. He's not. If anyone on that team wins it, it's Luther Burden. Brady Cook is not that guy, man. He does not have that in him. He does not.
Hey, it's funny. Remember when y'all were so high on Drake May?
Drake May didn't have anybody around him.
Tez Walker's not any good.
Tez Walker's mediocre, man. I've watched his tape. He's mediocre. He's slightly above average. He got his ass whooped at the Senior Bowl.
I don't really mean a whole lot. So didn't Devontae Smith too? Devontae Smith got jammed and then got put on the bench.
He didn't participate at the Senior Bowl.
Oh. Wonder what I'm thinking about. Regardless. South Shane Beamer, he's done, man. He's cooked.
Get him out. Get rid of him.
All right. Chris Foster,
Looks like he's a Tennessee fan. But says Shane Beamer has the nepotism of Derek Dooley with that coaching ability of Butch Jones.
That's a great analogy, Chris.
Well, he just took two shots at two Tennessee coaches there. He also says Tennessee will have the best scoring offense in the conference again. You didn't have the best scoring offense in the conference this year.
2 years ago, I think is what he means.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was you had to head on down to Baton Rouge to get that. All right. Joe, let's do this. Let's talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel and talk about them. Also, we got to come back. Year one expectations for Willie Fritz. We do that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoRuffino RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
Joe, let me ask you a question. With NFL free agency and some trades happening, is the NFL free agency the new signing day like college football used to? You remember in February, signing day, it used to be like massive flips, and then now all of a sudden, all the buzz it used to generate. Is NFL free agency get there? Saquon Barkley to the Eagles?
No, I think that free agency's always kind of been –
Brian Burns to the Giants.
That has me juiced up. I thought that the Giants were going to be quiet today and not do shit because it's something that they would do. They signed a bunch of interior offensive linemen who are slightly above average, but hey man, they spent the money, man. They didn't have to do anything to get Brian Burns. It was like a second and a fifth. So I'm juiced up.
Yeah, I mean, Kirko Chains to Atlanta. Can I tell you something that I'm very happy about?
Okay.
I am not happy that Kirk Cousins was with the Falcons, but I am happy because it means Jaden Daniels is not going to be in the NFC South.
Yeah.
I don't have to watch him take the dog shit out of the Saints. I was a very happy camper today.
It's really disappointing. I was kind of hoping for that to happen because that would have been really funny that you would have to deal with that. I mean, you get to see him though. You get to watch plenty of his games.
I'll watch every game. I watch every Burrow game, every single one, every snap. Mm-hmm. I don't miss a Burrow snap. So regardless of what you say there, bucko, okay, I'm not going to miss one of Jaden Daniels either. I'm just glad that I don't have to, you know, the Saints don't have to really compete against him maybe once or twice every other year. All right. Joe, one of the biggest moves in the offseason that really didn't get the headlines maybe it should have was that Willie Fritz is going back to the state of Texas and he's going to Houston to take over the Cougars. Now that Dana Holgorsen is out, your first-year expectations for the Houston Cougars?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be the case for a lot of Big 12 teams. I think there's a huge opening for a lot of programs to have really good years in 2024 to go at 500, a little bit above 500. I don't know if Willie Fritz is the type of guy that's going to hit the ground running in the first year, especially when the roster that he's taking over is pretty light and it got picked apart in the transfer portal before he could like really sink his teeth in and get there. A lot of the top guys either moved on to the NFL, all conference players moved on to other teams, entered in the transfer portal. I will say this, though. I like the fact that they were aggressive in adding a lot of linebackers in the transfer portal, a lot of defensive players in the transfer portal, especially because we know that Willie Fritz is a developer of defensive talent. It is going to be a difficult path for a team like Houston to go above 500 because they have a tough schedule. But I think 6-6 is an accomplishable feat for somebody like Willie Fritz to get to.
I got a very, very, very hot take here. Are you ready?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think there's only realistically three games that you completely throw them out that they have no shot in. Other than that, they're in every game because of Willie Fritz.
I'd say four. Oklahoma, Kansas, Kansas State, and Utah. I'd say four. But the rest, yeah, I mean, the rest are all winnable games.
All right, fair.
That's why I'm saying 6-6.
Fair. Well, let me give old Willie Fritz this, because to your point, he brought in three players from Tulane, okay? Corey Platt Jr., the linebacker, going to be an NFL dude. He ain't going to be high up on your board, Joe. He's not going to be high on anybody's board. He's got very high instincts. Okay, yeah. I look at Keith Cooper, also the defensive lineman from Tulane. He's coming in. I think he's a very underrated player. I know that there were SEC teams looking at him very closely to bring him in. I'm not going to say which ones, but very much looked into him. Kentrell Webb, the safety, also a kid from Tulane who can play here, Joe, or play in what would be the Big 12. He also gets another safety in Hershey McLaurin from West Virginia. Joe, they did add pieces, okay? The question is going to be also Makai Muse, who I think is a very big spark plug for them. Oh, and got Michael Batten too. I do think, to your point, Joe, he brought in a lot of players on the defense, but Willie Fritz has done a really good job everywhere he's gone, even offensively. I do think he's one of the most underrated coaches in the country. I also believe that he is going to win games that he has no business winning, okay? Like maybe, you know, you look at a Kansas State, Joe, they have no business winning that game. But you know what I also have seen him do at Tulane and everywhere he's gone? Win a big game year one that he wasn't supposed to win. So the question becomes, quite honestly, if we go based off of his track record, not maybe if he upsets somebody, the question might be, Joe, who does he upset? Because this has happened with him everywhere he's gone. And Tulane, of all people, Joe, they're a healthy Michael Pratt away from beating Ole Miss last year. I mean, he outdueled Lane Kiffin. They outcoached Lane Kiffin. Lane didn't have a chance in hell. Okay, offensively, they couldn't run the ball. They were doing different things against them defensively. I do think it's fair to say 6-6. Joe, I think that this conference is way too weak to make that assumption. I agree with you with Oklahoma, Kansas State, Utah. That might be fine. But everybody else, Joe, there's a high possibility they can beat everybody else and be 8-4.
Here's my only thing, though. What has helped him be successful is recruiting low-star recruits and then developing them into really good starters and eventually NFL players. Tyjae Spears, Dorian Williams, Michael Pratt, Jaquinnon Jackson. A lot of these guys, just slow development, and then eventually they turn out to be like unbelievable players at the G5 level, some of the best G5 players in the country. I just think a coach like that, who's not really like an on-field, I'm not saying he's a bad on-field coach, but what has made him so great at every stop that he's had is roster development. And typically guys like that, coaches like that, it takes them a couple of years before they really hit the ground running. I think 6-6 would be a huge accomplishment with how mediocre they were for the past couple of years under Dana Holgorsen. I think if we're just being realistic, it's probably going to take them a couple of years before they can really start going, you know, 7-5, 8-4, and all that stuff.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm there with you.
You think that they're gonna do better than that?
No, I'm not gonna like sell my soul that they'll do better. What I will sell my soul on is they're gonna beat somebody that they're not supposed to. And you know what the shitty thing about this is? We're talking about this in March, and I'm gonna say this, and they're gonna do it in the season, and I'm gonna completely forget about it. That's the only bad thing about this take, is that now I will probably forget about this, and they're gonna beat like a Kansas State, okay, when they had no business beating them. And I'm going to forget about this and be like, you should have come to the Ruffino and Joe show because Willie Fritz just upset Kansas State.
I mean, if you look at his progression, and this is a Tulane in the American, 4-8, 5-7, and then 7-6 in years.
Tulane was in a much worse place than Houston is right now.
I don't know, man. Dana Holgorsen ran that thing into the ground. Joe, they ran that into the ground.
No, Tulane wasn't winning games, buddy. They were getting blown out.
Yeah, they were dog shit. I know that they were bad. I understand that they were bad.
They were the worst team in the state.
I don't think that's that much of a – there's not that many D1
Joe, there's
programs.
Like seven FCS teams. They were getting beat, or by one score they were hanging on to win by. Like Northwestern State, for crying out loud.
I understand that. I also think that the level of competition is a lot different in the Big 12 than it is in the American. I think that there are much better athletes that make it harder to get wins on a weekly basis in the Big 12 than it is in the American.
He's still got Big 12 type athletes, though. Not everybody left.
Yeah, he does, but again, they are pretty cleaned out from the draft or from guys hopping in the portal. I mean, their best defensive lineman, who was it? Oh, Jamari Caldwell is leaving to go to Texas. He was an all conference player. Like, that's a really good example of somebody that he needed to keep. Nelson Caesar's going to the NFL. Patrick Paul's going to the NFL. That's an edge rusher in your starting left tackle. I don't even know who their quarterback is.
Well, they got Zion Chris from the portal. We'll have to see if he can make it. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. We'll have to wait and see. You're probably right. Maybe I'm a little bit too high on Willie Fritzen. Maybe I should.
Yeah, you just love your boy that's from that was in Louisiana. That's why.
No, actually, the truth is I should be a very big Willie Fritz hater because he was in the Southland Conference when I was, and they ran shit.
Oh, was it when he was it Sam Houston?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was Sam Houston. Remember, Sam Houston, if I'm not mistaken, went to the playoffs with him multiple times. And if I'm not mistaken, either competed for a national title or won a national title.
Wait, what year were you at Southland?
He was there 08 to 2012.
Oh, yeah, he was 2010, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind then.
Yeah, I should hate him. Didn't they play North Dakota State for a national title?
I want to say that they did. I think, no, Josh McCown was not there when he was there.
No, I don't think Josh McCown.
They went to and lost two national titles. They went to back-to-back national titles in 2011.
And who did they lose to?
One year was North Dakota State 17-6, and then the other one was North Dakota State 39-13.
Oh, so he just chokes. I guess he's like the he
ran. Yeah, did you guys go to a national title? I don't think so.
Doesn't matter. And that with the take in that the take I'm supposed to have, then what everybody tells me, if you don't win a national title, your team sucks. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they suck. They suck just, you know. Ricky Bobby's dad said, if you're not first, you're last. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, straight to that.
It's a lot true to that. All right. Good show. I do fear for this week, Joseph, when it comes to college football.
There's either gonna be a lot or nothing's gonna happen.
Let's hope it's nothing for well, if it is something, then I mean
that's something great for
our numbers. Yeah, that's something great for our numbers. We will see y'all Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.